Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Gabe. So Gabe, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. I live in Western New York by Niagara Falls, Buffalo area, for those who know Niagara Falls. I am the CEO of a company called Alley-Oop, and we're a leading sales development agency. We work with clients from all different sizes, all different types, and we build them an actual custom bespoke sales development department for them.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea for this company?
Well, like the name Alley-Oop in basketball, it's the ultimate assist, right? So you're setting it up for someone else to come in and slam dunk and get all the credit. And so that analogy blends really well into what we are, which is really that SDR, sales development rep function. So we decided on moving that to our name and what we do. We saw, you know, about 15 years ago, we were a company called Inside Sales Team, and that really was what we do. And it was very popular, the inside sales function. The tech and SaaS industry really rebranded and really renamed the appointment setting, you know, function to an SDR role. And we saw that happening, and we saw a huge need in the market for that. And now if you look on LinkedIn, there's 790,000 people that have the title sales development rep. So we saw that coming, and we help companies facilitate that role in that department.
Awesome. So let's just dive deeper without even, you know, obviously mentioning a customer name, but if you can just give an example of a use case of how one of your customers are using you guys today.
Well, I don't mind mentioning names. It's all over our website.
Go for it.
You know, a great one that everyone knows is, or most people should know, is Zoom Info. Back when we started with them, they didn't have NSC SDRs. They were a very small startup called Discover.org. And they, you know, saw an opportunity to, you know, leverage, again, the appointment setting function to their full-time sellers. They didn't want their reps spending 70 to 80% of their day self-sourcing and prospecting when they were getting paid and really responsible for demoing, closing business, negotiating contracts. So we partnered up with them initially, and we ran almost a 10-year engagement with them. And then they brought everything in-house eventually before they went public. And it's a great, you know, story and testimony to what we've done for just one company over a many year relationship. We work, again, with Adobe Sign is another example. They were looking to take market share from DocuSign when that started many years later. And they said, hey, how can we do this? Now, Adobe, you would think, would be able to do it themselves, but they wanted to test the market and not disrupt their current SDR team that was selling all their other products and decide, hey, let's do something with an agency and see if it even works so we don't invest all this time and money into it. And so we helped them establish that through our programs as well.
Awesome. So in terms of getting these types of customers, like what does that look like? I guess, like what has been the best channel for you of client acquisition?
Well, phone is still king in our world. You know, we talk all the time that like the old way is the new way. You know, phone really hasn't left. A lot of technology, emails, automations, AI tools have come into play for sure over the most recent years. But the reality is the phone is still the most effective way to actually get the result of a booked appointment. And so we look at all the other channels kind of as extra ingredients to get the phone call happening, working, making, you know, getting it being that the most effective tool.
What would you say is like the biggest challenge that you currently face in the business?
In our business or in
your
business?
In your business, yeah. Like it's specifically with Alley-Oop.
Well, what the big challenge right now for us is, as I mentioned, SaaS and tech companies have really been the SDR, you know, leader. And it's interesting, when we started this years ago, I would say 98 to 99% of our clientele, our portfolio, were SaaS and tech companies. Now that's very, very different. And now it's about 60% SaaS and tech, 40% other. And there's two reasons for this. One is there's a lot of companies that are displacing or laying off people, leaders, VPs, CROs, and they go to these other businesses that, in other industries that's not tech and SaaS. And those individuals say, where's our SDR team? Because they're used to having SDRs on their team, right? So there isn't one. So what we're noticing now is that we're actually educating even companies that have been in business 50, 60 years, educating them to what the SDR role is. So we're having conversations with owners of multi-million dollar companies, explaining to them, hey, your sellers shouldn't be spending 70% of their day prospecting. And that's still very new to them. So with the pivot of the marketplace, the way it is right now with tech and SaaS, we have been moving into other verticals and other industries with this role.
So I guess like of that 40%, what would those, you know, I guess like some of those verticals be where you could add, you know, lots of value?
Yeah. Staffing firms, right? There's a lot of staffing companies right now, even in specific staffing, such as executive staffing. You know, there's medical staffing that we have right now in place. Commercial cleaning companies, B2B commercial cleaning companies are now bringing this on. We have large scale manufacturers that are selling to hospitality that is bringing this on, where they have a field of sales reps outside spending most of their day prospecting, but they're six-figure sellers and they shouldn't be doing that, right? So we're bringing that in-house. Even franchises, you know, companies that are selling franchise opportunities. Those are just a few off the top of my head that we have really successful engagements with that are not anywhere close to a tech or SaaS provider.
So in terms of these SDRs, right? Like, essentially just for me to understand, for the audience to understand, like you're putting an SDR in someone's business that's fully trained, that's going to come in and, you know, just from day one is going to help scale their business essentially, right?
Right. Right.
So in terms
we're not
of
just doing the rep, can I don't want to interject,
yeah, sure,
but
go.
It's that's not the person. I mean, the person, the rep is that's most important, but there's four criteria that are around that rep that's supporting that. So we break it into five pillars. Do you want me to explain that a little
sure,
bit?
Sure. Yeah,
you?
Please. Yeah.
Sure. So it's really people, process, technology. So let me walk you through it. So people is the rep, right? We find best in class reps. We source them, we vet them, we train them, we bring them on board.
Are they based here in the States?
They are, yes. Okay. We do have some outliers where clients that are international that want us to penetrate the UK or Latin America. We like to keep our reps in the same time zones, at least as the prospects, right. To make them not crazy waking up in the middle of the night. But our flagship customer is a US-based target. And our reps do live in the US, which is what we focus on. However, data is a huge part, right? You need lists, you need people to call. So we provide data, tech stack, dialers, CRMs, you know, power dialers, parallel dialers, email tools. We provide that. Messaging, you know, what are they going to say? So we actually write objection handling guides, training guides, scripts, emails, LinkedIn notes, all of that is written in-house. And then management. So we manage the whole thing, reporting, analytics, KPIs, making sure that those things are being hit. So those are the five things you need to run a successful SDR team. Some clients get to a la carte some of that if they want to own it in-house. Some of them sign up for all of five things. Some where, you know, we have a plug and play model where our reps who are best in class and on demand plug into their entire ecosystem. And they manage the rest. So depends on the situation. That's what I mean by custom. But those are the five pillars that you really need to hit on every cylinder to have a successful SDR team.
But do you have clients, I'm sure they probably just come to you and say that they want to hire like the rep full time. Like, do you ever deal with that?
We actually have it built into our model. So all of our reps are hireable. So at the end of all of our agreements, you can actually hire our rep, of course, if they want to work for you, but that's another thing. But most like the opportunity to move their career forward. We call them Alley-Oop alumni. I can point to so many people who've worked with us, thousands of people over the years, if you look at it, who have been VPs, RVPs, directors, CROs, CMOs, owners of companies, all starting their career with us and eventually moving on to other companies through our direct hire program.
So how do you find these candidates? Like, I'm sure, I mean, and also like, I'm assuming that they're probably like, if they're in the US, that they're all over the country, they're like, remote folks, right?
So what's unique to us is we are fully remote. We didn't used to be. We are based up in Western New York, where actually I live today. We were in office and we are fully remote now, though we went remote before COVID, ironically. It's one of our big cost savings to our clients. There are competitors of ours that still believe in being in office. That's fine. there's obviously geographical constraints in hiring people that are you want on your team. We like having the ability to have the entire country as our pond to hire people from. And so we are a fully remote team for that reason and for the savings reason as well. But we find them, actually, that's kind of our secret sauce, but I don't mind sharing. I mean, we really use LinkedIn dramatically to find the right people. And we also have a lot of people applying to our company on a daily basis. I think 300 or 400 people apply to our company every month. But at the end of the day, I think finding those senior SDRs, I used to be a recruiter. So finding a passive candidate was something that I was always taught in my first days of being a recruiter many years ago. And that's a person who isn't really looking for someone or looking for a role. And we liked finding those people because usually they're really good at what they're doing. They're happy, but maybe they could be a little bit more happy over here. And that's what we do.
Yeah. Kasim is good at finding people like that, right? Kasim.
Oh, thank you, Dan.
So I guess like in terms of the business, right? Obviously, you know, now we're in 2024. So what would you say are some of your goals that would make this year successful for you?
Our big goal right now is to double down on education, right? I was telling you before, like there's a lot of industries right now that don't know what SDRs do, why it's important, what the benefactors are, what the return on investment is. So we're spending a lot of time on creating content so we can educate the market and attract new buyers who are new to the SDR role. That's our big focus right now. Also is technology testing. There's a lot of technology out there. AI is obviously, you know, disrupting the market. What's good, what's bad, what's ugly is really important to know. So we do a lot of different testing with technology, and we don't do it with our clients. What's unique about it is we have our own offering. So we are using our reps, our brand, our program internally to test that out before we ever release it to a client's program, which I think is unique because most clients don't have that opportunity to do it themselves that way. So we do a lot of testing here and just try to find the newest and greatest thing that allows us to do our job more effectively.
So who would you say is like your ideal customer? Like in terms of even like, I'm sure when you're targeting your clients, like they have to have like a certain amount of revenue for it to make sense for them to work with you. So it's like, who is your ICP right now from that standpoint?
The hardest question to answer in our space, because I have founder-led sales bootstrap companies where they're an employee of two people and they need meetings to be on their calendar so they can grow. And then I have, you know, billion dollar a year revenue clients. So our ICP really is non-existent. We're industry agnostic. Our ICP is, hey, if you need a demo to build your business and you have contact information that supports it, we can build you a program no matter how big or small it is necessary.
So what does the pricing structure look like if somebody was to work with you? Like, how do you decide, you know, because you mentioned that you have some small like bootstrap companies. So How do you decide in terms of, you know, pricing for those companies, for example?
Sure. So how our pricing works is really unique because, you know, our ability to purchase data, our ability to purchase software and dialers and technology is significantly bigger than someone who would need a 2 or 3 person SDR team and need that tech and data because our buying power. Right? Like I can go buy 150 licenses for our SDRs. I'm going to get a better price point than if you had 2 people, 3 people doing that for. And so that's a huge savings. So another piece to it is admittedly, when we do source our candidates, we don't look in the big cities. We don't look in New York City. We don't look in San Francisco. We don't look in Boston. Cost of living is less. So we can go ahead and hire accordingly. So what we do when it comes to pricing is we say, listen, we are about half the cost of what it's going to take you to do this by yourself. The Bridge Group comes out every year with different data points about sales development. And they said last year, 2023, it costs about $153,000 a year to support an SDR role. Now, that's just not the rep. That's the data, the tech, the manager, right? The messaging, the recruiting, the continuous recruiting, because a lot of reps turn over. And then also the rep themselves. So $154K a year, we're half that price. We're half of what it would cost you to build this function completely on your own.
So in terms of, let's just say, right, because obviously like every SDR, you said like if they're doing demos, that they're closing deals. So what does the structure look like? Is it also, I'm assuming there's probably like some level of commission for them as well?
Yeah, all of our reps are commissioned. They have a base salary and they have a commission structure on top of that for sure. And it's based on completed meetings. So we don't look to just throw mud against the wall and see what sticks. A lot of companies do like a pay per performance, pay per meeting type of program. We do not do that. The reason why we don't is for what I just said. A lot of people throw a lot of mud against the wall in those types of programs. Ours is more of a hybrid approach where you have, our reps are being paid to show up and then commissioned to perform.
For sure. That makes sense. So in terms of, you know, like you mentioned, obviously AI is like a big thing. So Where do you see AI coming in and being useful for the business?
Various ways. Content creation for LinkedIn content. AI is big there. Writing playbooks is really great for scripts and objection handling guides. AI is great there. Actually, one-off messaging and personalization and research of who the person is you're prospecting. So you can craft a personalized message via LinkedIn or voice note or video note is really good there. And then there's a lot of AI email and calling technologies that are integrating AI into their dialer or into their email tools. So it can hyper-personalize their messaging as well as connect your phone calls to the right people faster. So people are having more conversations on the phone using AI that's integrated into that technology.
So do you think there can be something that can be automated using AI?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of AI's ability is to automate a lot of this process. I do think we have to be careful, though, because I think after end of every single time we come up with an idea, then the next thing is, how do we automate it? And it's almost like it waters down every time you try to do another rendition of it and then automate it and then automate it and then automate it. And then I'm not against automation, but I am against non-humanization and unpersonalized stuff. So it depends on how many times you want to layer automation onto something. It brings that down too. So it's a balancing act. That's how we look at it. I'd rather have a human rep using a voice note and sending a good personalized message and then making a phone call all at the same time, all in the same week, than to just have, you know, peppered and spraying and praying type of an approach.
Don't you think so? There are some things that AI can eliminate, like there are many sort of follow-ups things. A human is not important to send a follow-up message. And there are many other things like fake queries. And AI can predict maybe that these are the fake queries.
Yeah, I think AI is great at following up. I think AI is great at reminders. I think AI is great at keeping people in the pipeline and nurturing as well. Those are all real tools. And then as soon as someone kind of raises their hand, then you can, you know, dispatch a real person into that engagement and go from there for sure.
Awesome. So, you know, obviously, like we spoke earlier about, like, you know, just some of your goals for this year as you're trying to, you know, continue to grow and scale your company. What do you think is like the biggest obstacle that's in the way from where you're at now to really, you know, grow and scale in 2024?
For my company specifically, or just kind of like the industry?
Yeah,
just
like for your company specifically, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of controlled chaos, right? Like, we want to make sure that we're always delivering to our clients with that and keeping that growth in mind. I'll give you an example. Like right now, more companies than ever before are outsourcing, but you would think, wow, that's not true. Everyone's like downsizing. Well, yes, that's also true, right? So like companies are downsizing their SDR team, but they still need appointments. So what are they going to do about it? Well, there's two things. They can have their AE self-source, which we already realized that that's not a good idea, or we can outsource it, right? So if you can outsource it and still get the same results you were getting at a better price point or even the same price point, but without the full commitment of having that on your payroll, that for sure is a better option. So we're seeing tremendous growth right now. And our biggest challenge, as you would always see growth, is to keep that fulfillment to our clients. We're doing a good job, but it's always that balancing act. We don't want to take on too many clients if we can't service them the right way. And so just keeping that balance in place has always been what we want to make sure we have in place, especially for this year.
Well, I guess I'm curious too, because, you know, like for example, HubSpot, like they sort of have like, there are certain roles, which is like SDR/AE, like both, like, you know, so Do you guys do that, or like do you like recommend it, or is that not, or is it more of like SDRs and SDR, let the AE be someone else, even for these smaller companies? Like, what does that look like?
I think it's the result of what you want, right? So, like, why have a marketing team at all? Like, why even have marketing if you can have sellers just going out and doing all the work? Well, of course, you don't want that. Marketing's job is to create a brand and to create marketing qualified leads. That's why there's a difference between marketing qualified lead and a sales qualified lead, right? So it's always about, I'm a car guy, so I like the assembly line, right? So the raw material is marketing, then it gets on the assembly line, then it goes through the assembly line, and then eventually it's a car, or eventually it's a deal. And how many people do you want a part of your assembly line is the question of the day. Do you want your AE to own the entire thing, and they're putting the entire vehicle together by hand like Bentley does? Or do you want it to be more of like a Cadillac or a Ford or a Chevy, and have it more piecemealed into multiple people doing it? So what we find is that a marketing team, an SDR function, an AE, and then an actual client success team is by far the best way to do it. But again, every product's a little bit different. If it takes, four calls to before you even get to a product demo, sometimes products are like that. It's a $300,000, $400,000 deal, and there's a lot of enablement involved, and product managers need to be on that call. Maybe it doesn't make sense to have an SDR function at that point. But again, it depends on what you're trying to get from it. If you want a 30-minute demo, SDRs are the best way to go.
For sure. So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you were in, or I guess joined LU?
I would have, I wasn't always an outside sales guy. So I was always a face-to-face seller on the road type of person. I would have probably wanted to know more about the industry of inside sales before I came here. There's a lot to learn. It was a big shift for me, but it was actually what I was looking for. I was on the road on purpose. That was my gig for 10 years, training sales teams. And I was always in a different city pretty much every week. And I was looking for something that I didn't have to travel as much once I settled down and had kids and stuff. So I was looking for an inside sales function, and that's how I found inside sales. I wish I knew more about it, but I also wouldn't change it because it gave me the opportunity to learn a lot about how to interact with people. So I would say, inside sales is not for everybody, and outside sales is not for everybody. And it's very rare you can find someone who can do both, but it is very different. And so I think that is important to know.
For sure. And if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for Alley-Oop?
For Alley specifically, my hope and our focus and our intent and our desire is to literally be twice the size as we are today. And we and not just in size of headcount and revenue, but in size of brand and in size of awareness and in size of just being an industry expert. So we're putting a lot of content out there on LinkedIn. I post every day. I didn't do that, admittedly, in the beginning of the year, many years before. And I think I had 122,000% increase in engagement from January to this January. So content creation is huge right now. Doing this right here, communicating with sales professionals and experts on podcasts, is something we're really liking to do. And I think it, creates a, like I said, the awareness of what it is we do. And I think it's super important.
Well, that's amazing, and we're rooting for you. So, if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your social media or website? I
Yeah.
guess, like, best ways to get in contact with you.
Very active on LinkedIn, as I was just mentioning. So connect with me directly, and we can absolutely have a conversation, and go from there. My social media is on LinkedIn. It's Gabriel Lulo, CEO Alley-Oop. If you ever want to look at our company's info, alleyoop.io is our website.
Awesome. Well, Gabe, thank you so much for your time today. And yeah, I'm rooting for you to have a very successful 2024.
You guys too. Thanks so much. Big fan.
Thanks. Thanks,
All
Gabe.
right. Thanks. All
Thanks.
right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.